relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is America First with our very special guest host, the voice of Dallas, Mark Davis.
Well, what an honor that is. It seems like there's other shows that I need to somehow spread the love around in. So if we've run across each other together, that is why. Hi, Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka on America First, Thursday, April 29th, 2021 edition. And what a joy it is to be here. Like all good Americans, I drive around and listen to America First. I consume it there at sebgorka.com or rumble.com/Gorka, which you should do. And if you do right now, you're here and in the DFW area with me in the studios of 660 AM, The Answer, where I'm a very happy morning host. And there's never any better show prep for doing one of the network shows here on the Salem Radio Network, because you can stumble across me filling in for Hugh Hewitt or for Larry Elder or for Dennis Prager, and now here, and what a joy it is. But it's always cool to be able to do my own show in the morning, find out what folks are, you know, all lathered up about, and then bring that to whatever network show I happen to be doing. So the talk show gods have smiled today, you could say, because there it was in all of its tranquilizer dart glory. I think Ted Cruz had it best. We probably have that audio a little later on, where he said that it was incredibly radical and incredibly boring at the same time. Usually when something is this dangerous, it's kind of, as the Biden speech last night, it's kind of eye-popping. You know, people are recoiling and they're taken aback. It's like, good Lord, what's going on here? There is a Somanex effect here with Biden. Sleepy Joe can make you sleepy as well. And it was a kind of a narcotic effect I found trying to consume this last night and, you know, keep my eyelids prodded open in order to make a note or two. And when it was done and I was, you know, kind of ready to snooze out for the evening, I realized that what had been laid out was one of the most absolutely radical, untenable, unsustainable visions of America that I'd ever heard. And I floated this on the local show of mine here in DFW, and I'll offer it up here to you. You know the phone number, 833 833-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA, which is 833-334-6752. If you want to shoot me something via Twitter, you're certainly welcome to, at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis. Whole other show can take place over there. I'll check that out during commercial breaks. But I didn't want to be glib about this, but it occurred to me, because what are we at, like 99 or however many days, please, Lord, let them pass quickly. I don't know what day it occurred to me. I remember I asked somebody, I said, is it possible this is the worst first 100 days in the history of first 100 day measurements? I am 63. I've seen some bad presidencies. I've lived through some bad presidencies. So if we really line up the worst first 100 days, your candidates are going to be, I mean, the first, I was born during Eisenhower. Then you get JFK. JFK was Churchill compared to some of these folks that we've been dealing with in these last generation or two. LBJ, great society. What total economic wreckage that was. LBJ had some plus sides, nice civil rights advocacy, et cetera. In his first 100 days, America was in a grieving mess, so we're not going to pick on his first 100 days. Carter, my first election. The Jimmy Carter presidency was just stunningly bad. But his first 100 days, January, February, March of 1977, I'm 19. I mean, I'm obviously historically look back at that now. I mean, it wound up being a terrible presidency, but it kind of marinated in its own terribleness. Clinton seems positively harmless compared to this Obama, Biden, you know, the AOC, Schumer, iteration of today's Democrat Party. So we get to Obama. And once again, 8 years, eight interminable years. The funny thing is, you know what I remember from the very beginning of the Obama years and their January, February, March of 2009 is the Tea Party started to take flight. And I don't know if that tempered him or if he thought, you know, I got 4 years, maybe eight. I don't know if he just knew that he was going to have 8 years to have his way with us, but I don't remember those first 100 days being particularly terrible. I mean, every day was in its own sort of fetid soup. But these first 100 days, with the wreckage at the border and the economic wreckage and the cultural wreckage, this is, I will say, I say without fear of contradiction, if you wish to contradict, you may, at 833-33-GORKA, the worst first 100 days ever. I mean, just in my lifetime. I mean, you know, I guess I can't go back and revisit the, you know, the Rutherford B. Hayes, Warren Harding, James Monroe first 100 days, not to pick on anybody, but those are the ones that I have a little bit of radar on. And I heard, here, I'll tell you what let's do. In just let's spend a second, and I believe you me, I am not going to bury you in lengthy, interminable, torturous Biden audio. But just as he warmed up last night, every Democrat president's going to give you bad ideas. You're going to get bad ideas. You're going to get bad policies. But just the thematics, the way he sees the country, the way he's trying to rewrite history, it was a challenge right from the jump.
I stand here tonight, one day shy of the 100th day of my administration. 100 days since I took the oath of office and lifted my hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis.
Okay. Were we in crisis? We obviously COVID creates a, you know, part, there's the crisis of COVID itself, the crisis of the lockdowns, the crisis of the bad science, the crisis of the overreaction. So crises were indeed in progress. But by the time he lucked into his air quotes victory, the economy was already rebounding. This notion that America was in some horrible cauldron from which only he could rescue us is quite the stretch.
The worst pandemic in a century. Mm-hmm. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
Well, not anymore. It was when it was at its worst, but we were absolutely fighting out of it, climbing out of it by the great benefit of the engine of the Trump economy.
The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
Okay. Really? Do we remember 9/11? Do we remember Pearl Harbor? I understand how Democrats are going to have a, how the left in general is going to have a particularly dim view of 800 or so rioters. And that's never good. That's not good. Don't ever want to minimize that. But the maximization of it into the worst attack on our democracy? Are you kidding me? He ain't done.
Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again.
Oh, Lord.
I've often said our greatest strength is the power of our example, not just the example of our power. In my conversations with world leaders, and I've spoken to over 38, 40 of them now, I've made it known that America's back. And know what they say? The comment I hear most of all from them?
Please.
So they say, we see America's back, but for how long?
Okay, that's America's back, all right. Back on the side of the Iranians. America's back, all right. Back steeped in the horrible foreign policy, the anti-Israel, soft on Iran, soft on terror, America last. Yeah, America is back in that situation again. It's not a place I want to be. It's not a place you want to be. All right, I didn't even touch on anything economic yet. Let's do that with Steve Moore next. And your calls aplenty. Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka on America First.
Dear friends, there has never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Did you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? At any time you go online, your internet service provider can see every site you're visiting. Are you confused about how it works? ExpressVPN is an app for computers and smartphones that encrypts your network data and reroutes it through a secure server. That means you can use the internet more anonymously without having your activity tracked. Do you think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? Take it from me, they're not. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app and tap just one button to protect yourself. It's really that simple. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/GORKA and get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Gorka right now. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
What a joy. What an honor. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate it. Thank you, Gorka's America. Thanks for listening. 833-33-GORKA. I'm going to hop into calls very next segment. We already got a bunch of them. Just coming to full damage control after this, after the Biden attack on our sensibilities last night. 833-33-GORKA. One of the cool things about hanging out here on some of the network shows and here right now on America First is the chance to talk to people who I've known for a really long time and whom I welcome to the local show with great regularity. One of the great writers, one of the great economic thinkers, FreedomWorks, Wall Street Junior, Wall Street Journal, Club for Growth, author of Trumponomics. It's my friend Steve Moore. Steve, welcome to America First. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing great. Great to be on with you again. We've known each other for ages, and it's just wonderful to be on the Sebastian Gorka show with you.
It is a joy.
What a speech last night. I mean, you know, my title for that speech was Tax, Spend, and Snooze.
in that order, and then lather, rinse, repeat. Exactly right. And let's get into the – here's the thing that worries me. Speaking of being beaten into submission and into a catatonic state, billions, trillions, eventually you get to what you might call real money. Are we just blind and numbed to all these additional trillions? Have most Americans just lost track, thrown up their hands, and said, to heck with it. Let's we're printing money. It must not matter anymore.
You know, the numbers are so big. When I first came to town, and you and I have known each other, what, 30 years or something like, Mark? When I first came to Washington, you know, we talked about the budget in the millions and billions of dollars. And it is true that now we talk about the budget in the billions and trillions of dollars. And I was on with Larry Kudlow on his TV show yesterday, and he said, Steve, what comes after a trillion? And I said, well, I'm not sure, Larry. I think maybe a gazillion. We are talking about so much spending right now. And look, this was an ode to big government. This is exactly the opposite of what, remember when Ronald Reagan said government is not the solution, government is the problem?
Sure.
This is exactly the opposite of that. It's remember when Donald Trump said we're going to drain the swamp of Washington and the bureaucrats and the regulators and all of the politicians. This is doing the opposite. We are vastly expanding government. We're vastly expanding and replenishing the swamp. Washington's going to get rich off of this. I don't know about the rest of America. And I counted, I don't know if you counted, but I had a hard time keeping up, but I think it was $6.5 trillion they came up with for the new spending, $6.5 trillion.
Yeah, and eventually, I think, I mean, I don't, you don't, thoughtful conservatives don't, fiscal conservatives never should, and we should all be fiscal conservatives, but there's another figure let me throw at you where Joe Biden looks right at us and says, I give you my word, I'm not going to raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000. Number one, I do not believe him. Number two, there are a lot of ways to sort of, with a Rube Goldberg device, figure out a way to get to those people below 400K. So what's your assessment, your take on the Joe Biden, I'm leaving you alone if you make less than 400,000 promise?
Well, look, first of all, the people who make over $400,000, they're, you know, the people in the top 1% of income, you know, Mark, what do they do for a living? Those are people who own, operate, invest in small businesses. That's
they create
what
jobs.
Most of them do.
Sure.
So, yeah, exactly. So we're going to, don't worry, we're just going to tax all the job creators in the country. Oh, that'll work out fine. You know, I mean, so I don't even get the logic of that. And we did exactly the opposite when I worked for Trump. You know, we cut everybody's taxes. We cut the taxes of American business, small business men and women, and the American corporations. Why? Because we wanted jobs back here. I guarantee you, Mark, if we were to do the entire plan that Joe Biden laid out, the big winner, you know who the big winner would be? China.
Tell me how. I mean, it makes sense, but tell
China.
Me how.
Because we were pulling in capital from the rest of the world under Trump. Mm-hmm. We brought in $1.5 trillion under Trump. $1.5 trillion was repatriated from Mexico and Bermuda and China and Japan and Germany and all these other countries. We brought that money back to the good old U.S. of A. And you better believe we created jobs with that. We had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years for blacks, for Hispanics, for whites, for women, for every group that you can think of. And so, look, it's simple, folks. We twisted the dials of economic policy towards putting America first and growth. Biden is twisting the dials in exactly the opposite direction. I'm here to tell you, Mark, if you reverse the process, you get the reverse result. And not this year. This year is going to be good. This year is going to be good for the economy, thanks to Trump and Operation Warp Speed. I worry about the hangover effect of all of this debt and all of these taxes.
No doubt. Steve Moore with us, and just follow him at Stephen Moore on Twitter and read him in the Wall Street Journal. Check him out at FreedomWorks. You mentioned China. Here's something else China is not going to do. They are not going to cripple their economy on the phony altar of climate extremism. So let's spend a little bit. I mean, Green New Deal is environmentally, scientifically vacant, but economically poisonous. Share with me a little bit of its dangers.
Well, remember, one of the things Trump used to say that I loved, he used to say the rest of the world is laughing behind our back when we do stupid things. And he was right about that. When we do stupid things, the other countries can't believe their good fortune that America is going to do something so stupid. So we're going to, let me get this right, we're going to cripple our oil and gas and coal industry, which, by the way, Mark, we get 80% of our energy from the fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to cripple that industry. And then Biden says, and Kerry, oh, don't worry, China's going to play along with us. No, they're not. China's building the biggest pipeline in the world from Siberia to China so they can have all that oil and gas. They are building hundreds of coal plants, and they're laughing at us. I mean, they are laughing at us and making us a laughing stock. Every time we shut down a coal plant here in the United States, folks, China and Vietnam and India and, you know, all of these Asian countries, they build 20 coal plants. So, Mark, explain to me how that's going to reduce carbon emissions.
Indeed. All right, listen, about 60 seconds, Steve. Joe Biden comes at the so-called wealthy and says they need to pay their quote-unquote fair share. What's the current graph on how much the top 1% pay, how much the top 10% pay out of the complete federal treasury?
So that's a great question. The top 1% pay roughly 40% of all income taxes. And by the way, that percentage went up. It went up after the Trump tax cut. Why? Because the economy did so well. We had so many more jobs. We had so much more growth, so much higher incomes. People ended up paying more taxes. You lower tax rates, Mark. How many times have I said this on your show? You lower tax rates, good things happen to the economy. You raise tax rates, bad things happen. And by the way, the people who are going to suffer the most, in my opinion, will be the people at the bottom. They're the first people who get laid off.
Yeah, because during the Trump years, people in the bottom, you know, quintile, they managed to go higher. People in the middle class did better. It's not that complicated. Steve Moore, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you on any show I happen to host. So thank you so very, very much. The great Stephen Moore, everybody. And again, I've had him on my local show here in DFW, and it's great to have him right here on America First with Sebastian Gorka. But me, Mark Davis, today. Telephone number again is 833-33-GORKA. Tell you what, let's do. Let's grab some calls. Let's talk to some people, shall we? Last night's Biden speech was a cornucopia of horrible leftist ideas, a slush fund with which to finance them. And so follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis, and obviously everything Gorka related at SebGorka.com. Great to be in for Seb, and you folks are next on the phone on America First. Stick around.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
That's what you found. Sebastian Gorka, your daily host. Decidedly not me. Seb is back on Monday. We are together today and tomorrow. Hey, bonus plan. Mark Davis with you from 660 AM The Answer, Dallas-Fort Worth. You know the phone number, 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. Let's talk to some people. Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik with us at the top of the next hour. Between now and then, you and me, damage control after last night, where you want to go topically. I've got some things to bring up today. Let's just enjoy each other's company here. I'm going to go to a gentleman who's going to bring something up that that I haven't mentioned at all, one of the most noxious, pernicious things that Biden mentioned last night, and that's on line four in the big New York City. Danny Hay, Mark Davison for Seb. Welcome to America First. How you doing?
Hi. This is Mark.
It is. How are you?
This is Danny.
Nice to have you.
Good, good. Great to be on. I just wanted to comment on the idea of starting kids 3 years old in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm against that for two reasons, I guess. One is that, the kid belongs at home with the bonding with the mother. And that kind of devalues the whole idea of the nuclear family, just to take that kid away and put him into the school system.
Yeah.
And then my second objection was that you're basically forcing other people to raise other people's kids.
Of course.
We've done that in New York. And when the kids are, taken away from their mother, I mean, they're crying for the mother, I mean, this is anecdotal, but, it just seems wrong on so many levels.
No, absolutely. And Danny, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And this takes me to a couple of places about education that were particularly dangerous. The universal pre-K is government saying, give us your children as soon as possible, as early as possible. We now, the other day, there was a story about 34 million kids are now going to get like food from school in the summertime. School's not in session in the summertime. I know there are people with hardships. I totally get it. I will always understand people who are in genuine need. But this isn't about addressing genuine need. It's about creating genuine dependency. What kind of household can't put a bowl of oatmeal in front of a kid? Who cannot do that? This is about government getting its clutches on your children. And we're not going to like indoctrinate four-year-olds, but just what we're really doing is indoctrinating the parents, getting them used to the endless teat of government from cradle to grave. Let us roll next into Pittsburgh on line two. JoJo, Mark Davison for Seb. Welcome to America First. How you doing?
Oh, Mark, it's a pleasure to speak to you. I've heard
you're
you
so
go in many times.
Thank you.
And I
Thank
just you. Love you to death. Anyway, the reason for my call is I think us conservatives need to get a 2024 presidential game plan. And I wanted to see what you thought on what I think would be a fabulous presidential ticket: DeSantis, Tim Scott, or Tim Scott, DeSantis?
I love Tim Scott, love him, always have. The DeSantis phenomenon is something I don't know whether I'm overselling it. I've told conservative America, the conservative world, make me like somebody more than Ron DeSantis. If you can, we'll talk about it. But until then, He's just the bee's knees. He has the energy, the clarity of Trump. And listen, as far as Trump 2024, if he wants to run, the talk show host in me loves it. The conservative in me loves it. I don't think he's going to. I think that Donald Trump is going to be enjoying the private sector way too much, and that he'll be one of the most important political figures in America, taking up space rent-free in every liberal's head without even going through the meat grinder again. So I'm going to default to the notion that we're looking for somebody new. I love DeSantis, and the notion of Tim Scott as a running mate is deeply interesting to me. Let me say for the third time that I love Tim Scott. The reason I don't do Scott and DeSantis is the top guy needs to be a buzzsaw. Tim Scott is gracious. I don't want to say he's gracious, but too gracious. Nice, but too nice. Actually, I think Bernie Kerik may say that at the top of the next hour, because I think he said it on Twitter. So I love Tim Scott, but the top guy has got to be, he's got to be that M1 Abrams tank to plow through the left, plow through the media. And JoJo, thank you enormously. Now, are there other, names that come up from time to time? Do you hear about Mike Pompeo or Tom Cotton? And are there some people who I think are trying to win our favor a little bit, from Chris Christie to Nikki Haley? Great. More the merrier. Bring it. We'll figure it out. In a way, 2024 is a million years away, but in a way, it's going to be here before we know it. Please, it can't get here too fast. Mark Davison for Seb Gorka. It's America First.
You know I love MyPillow and how it literally changed my life. It's the pillow that won't go flat. You can wash it and dry it as many times as you want, and it'll keep its shape. And it's made in the USA. Now, for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's originally $69.98, $40 of savings. And kings are only $5 more. That's the lowest price ever. Just $29.98 for the standard queen premium. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code G-O-R-K-A. You'll find the most amazing offers and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A, MyPillow.com. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
What a joy. Here with you today, here with you tomorrow. Mark Davis from 660 AM, The Answer. In the big storm-racked Dallas-Fort Worth. Holy cow. I love when we make national news for hail. That's always great. So we were bombarded by a little bit of that. And it was fun watching all the local news around here try to juxtapose the meteorologists essentially telling us that Armageddon was happening up against the Biden address, which was dread of another type. And so we're doing a little day after damage control here on the America First phone lines, which, of course, are 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. You can follow me on Twitter and shoot me anything you like there. I'll check that. During the commercial breaks, let's take a look at what some other folks were thinking about Biden last night. And I want to add a kind of another layer, because there's the speech itself. There's the media coverage of the speech, which was, of course, fawning in its worshipful respect, but also how we play hard, play smart, and fight back against this. It's easy to note a sort of a baked-in feeling on the part of many conservatives, I know I have it, that 2022 we're going to win back the House. Cross your fingers, maybe we win back the Senate. And part of the reason I allow myself to emotionally invest in that is I absolutely believe that the left is overplaying its hand. Hardcore liberals love every day of what's going on. I totally get that. Center-left people probably find more things to like than not like. But the independents, the centrists, the squishy moderates, even they have to realize we don't have this much money to blow. We, as a country, it's good to have borders that work. It's not right to have a dude in the lane next to your daughter in the 400 meters in high school track meet. There are millions of people who believe those things who may not be hardcore conservatives. And so the pendulum may be about to swing. I just want to play my cards smartly so that we can have that happen. Let us head to Orlando on line one. Chris, hey, Mark Davis in for Seb. Welcome to America First. How you doing?
Great. Thank you very much. I just wanted to tell you, I think one of the last callers touched on the conditioning of Americans and the verbiage that the left uses. And one of the things that they always say, and it bugs me since I started listening to it, is how things are affecting our democracy. And this is an attack on our democracy. Yeah. It's actually a republic, and we should remember that. Secondly, I think that because of that insensitivity that we've gained or that we've got is allowing us to not see things like SCOTUS, the packing of the Supreme Court and the filibuster. Those are our direct attacks on the democratic process that we have as a republic. And I think those are things that are even more egregious than the unwokeness of a lot of Americans.
Beautifully put, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate it. It is a superb one, and thank you. Everything's an attack on democracy now. You know, if Trump did it, it was an attack on democracy. If conservatives want it, it's an attack on democracy. Biggest case in point right now, trying to make our elections more secure. Oh, terrible, terrible, horrible us for Georgia, trying to make its elections more secure. Here in Texas, we're doing the same thing. We are making our elections more secure. As Tim Scott said last night, we want to make it easier for people to vote and harder for people to cheat. Which party knows, speaking of things that are baked in, which party knows that illegal, duplicate, dead voters are a big part of their success. Which party knows that? Well, it's the party that squeals like a stuck pig every time somebody speaks the words voter ID. And so those are real attacks on democracy. Having a politicized Supreme Court is a real attack on democracy. January 6th was terrible. The gathering that day, January 6th, was beautiful. Its intent, pure and constitutional. The 800 or so who, you know, ramped it up way too far, that's bad. That was an attack on a building. A very important building, a precious building. I don't underplay that at all. But this notion from Biden last night, this is the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War? Are you kidding me? We're in California, line five, Kathy. Hi, Mark Davis in for Seb. Welcome to America First.
Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure.
Actually, I was calling about Biden's comment about the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to speak on your response saying, does anybody remember 9/11 or Pearl Harbor? 9/11 and Pearl Harbor were attacks by an enemy that killed thousands of Americans. There is no comparison. And does anybody remember the 1983 U.S. Senate bombing by radical left-wingers?
Well, when you
that was an attack on democracy.
No, you know? Exactly right. And it's always a bad idea to play, can you top this, you know, across history with bad things? But when someone steps out, as President Biden did last night, and just seeking to further stigmatize January 6th, and we know why he wants to do it, because it was Trump supporters that did it. And that just made it extra quintuple bad. Okay, I get it.
It was frustrated Americans, frustrated with their elected officials, their elected public servants acting more like power-hungry, drunken overlords than they are public servants.
I know. And Kathy, thank you enormously, because it is the historic. It's kind of funny. Somebody as old as Biden should not be as historically illiterate as that. You know, Biden very nearly lived through the Civil War and should have known that a number of things since then have happened that deserve particular stigma, not just his chosen thing that he wants to pick up and use as a cudgel to beat conservatives with. 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. We are in Columbus. Rick, hey, Mark Davison for Seb. Welcome to America First. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I hope you're wrong when you about DeSantis and Tim Scott. I think they're both great, mm-hmm. but I'd hate to see DeSantis leave the governorship in Florida.
No,
because then I'd be afraid Florida's we'd be lost to the left.
Well, but I'll tell you what, and God bless. And you're right. And that all. Whenever we get somebody great to run for president, it often means they leave some prior gig. But I will trust Florida to find a good heir to the DeSantis legacy if we need him in the White House. And we very well might. We very well might. And that's not to give short shrift to anybody else, but we very well might. What do you think?
But the ones I like to see in the White House is Trump. Yep. And Candace Owens.
now that's a ticket. That's a bumper sticker you can print right now. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very, very much. After the 4 years of Biden, we are going to need the biggest, baddest, constitutionalist, unapologetic, muscular conservative we can find. The search is on. Mark Davison for Dr. Gorka on America First. Be right back.
America First, magnificent.
And I want to be magnanimous in thanking Seb Gorka for the opportunity to come hang out here with Jeff and Shad and Eric and the boys and everybody here at 833-33-GORKA. We're together today, 1 hour almost down, two more to go, and then we're hanging out tomorrow. I'll wrap up the week with you, and then Dr. Gorka is back on Monday, so that's all right with the world. Let's go back to the phones and wrap up this hour. We'll start out with Bernie Kerik, former police commissioner, and talk a little crime, little cops, this and that, and maybe some other things as well, and get right back to your calls next hour. 833-33-GORKA. But we are in Connecticut on line one. David, hi. Mark Davison for Seb. Welcome to America First. How you doing?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
Yes, I'm calling to give my pick for 2024. Yes. And my pick would be Ron DeSantis for president and Donald Trump for VP. And okay. Let the Democrats try to figure this one out.
Well, Noelle, first I need to figure it out. What in the world makes you think Trump is interested in being anybody's running mate? And even if he were interested in doing that, just as kind of an avocation, if you're interested in Trump on the ticket, why not let him come, be at the top of it? Did pretty well the first time around.
No, he already has the label as president.
Right.
So now he's going to have two labels, president and vice president.
And maybe later on he could be Speaker of the House. I don't know.
Attorney General, Democrats will
Chief
just
Justice.
Go crazy.
Oh, I have a feeling they will.
Trying to impeach the VP now.
you may well be right. David, thank you. Best to everybody in Connecticut. It's interesting when you take a look at how DeSantis has, you're aware of the savagery that happened on 60 Minutes, the selective editing, it's like the media culture knows the degree of love that conservative America has for DeSantis. Now, is he the only human being, the only governor? I mean, Greg Abbott here in my state of Texas, enormously popular. But DeSantis, he is the flavor of the month. And he was the flavor of the month last month. And it's going to be May in a little bit. And I think he'll be the flavor of the month next month as well. We really have, and I don't know, I'm trying to think back when this happened. I mean, we've foreseen a large field before with maybe a front runner or two or three. But I really meant what I said earlier in this hour. And maybe you're with me on this, maybe not. If not, or if so, call me. 833-33-GORKA. We have Bernie Kerik starting up the next hour. But then more just delicious random thoughts here on the morning after the Biden attack on our sensibilities. But I'm really at this point where if Trump does not run, that give me DeSantis, and I'm going to feel that way until somebody presents himself or herself to me that excites me as much, if not more. I mean, there have been a few who are trying, some who did for a little bit, but, that's where I am. Is it 2024 yet? Hey, Mark Davis in for Seb Gorka. It's America First, 1 hour down, 2 to go. Thank you for being with us. A lot more to come. We're just getting warmed up.